gay-ass name for a gay-ass podcast.
Hey, Richard Perez, will you do me a huge favor?
Yes, my dear. What can I do?
If I look tired to you, will you do me a favor and not say anything about it?
Of course.
Will you tell me how good I look?
You look so fabulous, so sexy and raw and present and just ready to chit-chat. I get the vibe that you're ready to chit-chat.
I'm so fucking ready to chit-chat, and the best compliment you just gave me was that I look present, and now I start crying. Because to look present in this day and age, honey, I can serve that compliment right back to you. You got flowing locks, gorgeous lighting, and you too, Richard Perez, look very present as well.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And
I mean,
it's
so hard.
It's hard to do, but what also is hard to do is a show called I Have to Do This at the Gramercy Theater on October 6th. We're gonna talk about it because Chanty Beluga is opening for you.
Yes.
And that will be a topic of conversation. But another topic of conversation will be a post that you recently put on the internet. It says, just a few cocks away from being loved, and loved is in full caps. Richard, how many cocks left?
That is something I don't have the answers to. I think if we're going to talk about being present, like, I just have to succumb and surrender to cocks, like each one cock after the other, learn what I can from each experience and keep myself open all along the way. And I trust that one day it will just
be enough.
Did that happen for you?
That's a great question. Did I ever get to the cock that made me feel... Actually, I did. Is that okay to say?
Yes. I need to hear that. I need to be hearing that.
No, I did. I married the cock that loved me the most.
And before you started dating, were you...
searching
you
for cock?
You were kind of around, like, you were out in these streets?
Or? I was out in these streets, but in a way that I find to be different than the streets now, because I was so plagued by fear that I, you know, if we're really going to get into the weeds of it, Richard, is that I probably accepted the cock I thought I deserved, which is a great cock, by the way, but I was so afraid to, like, let in a ton of cocks that I think I sort of committed to one at the age of 24, and then both of our cocks grew to, like, really love each other. But I think now the streets, there are endless opportunities that I think it's harder to commit, if that makes any sense.
Are y'all open?
We are, thank you for asking. But we weren't for the first 8 years of our relationship. So I was, again, it was fear. It was very fear. Like, actually, if I may quote a friend of mine, Aiden Wharton, who has a great Substack, he just posted about sex these days and how prep has changed things for us gays. And I do think that it has changed probably the dating game too, because we're allowing ourselves to have more, some of us are allowing ourselves to have more sex. What is your relationship? I know you went on Caleb Heron's podcast and said that you asked someone out in real life and you were rejected.
Which is, like, feels like a vintage, like, approach from, like, another time. I don't think people, I mean, in a really general sense, it does happen every day. Like, people are asking each other out and stuff like that, but I don't know, I think it's not always the go-to.
No,
you know, when you have Instagram, when you have dating apps and stuff like that, you can hide behind the screen a little bit.
No, it's like emotional analog. You know how things are now, like, analog is becoming the thing? So, like, asking someone else IRL is like doing the hard
vinyl
emotional
records.
It's the vinyl records of interpersonal conversation. In fact, let's get into the weeds of it, Richard. You asked somebody out. He did say no, but can you tell me, was it somebody that you, like, had it in the moment, an organic, I want to ask this person out? Or was it like, I'm planning it, this is the moment, and then you went for it? What was, like, the buildup?
Okay, so there's this guy that I became friends with a year ago. I met at a party, and I was, like, taken by him kind of right away. And I think I also was just wanting to get to know him in general. But I think subconsciously, maybe I wasn't so aware of it while it's happening, but this crush or, like, fantasy was developing in my head. And, you know, and I'm... But I'm also... I think a year ago, I was just, like, more anxious. And I mean, I still have a long way to go to try to unpack a lot of my these things in my relationship to dating and, you know, all that stuff. But I felt like back then I was too precious about, like, everything. And I'm like, oh, like, I got to do this right or something. There's got to be the right moment to... express interest or take a chance or ask this person out, blah, 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 blah. And months were passing by and we're getting to know, you know, we have, like, mutual friends and we'd see each other a lot. And, but I was going crazy. And I literally last summer, fall, I was, if you ran into me, that's like, what was my, that's what I was up to. And in a way, it was nice to have that to...
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, I don't know, like, at a show or just going somewhere, like, some people do want to talk business or something or be like, what are you up to? What are you working on? Like, da-da-da. And sometimes I could just diffuse it and be like, I have a crush. And they're like, oh. And I'm like, yeah. And it's driving me crazy.
Well, what's more human than a crush? I mean,
I know. And also, that's so sweet, too. Like, everyone has experienced this in some way. And everyone has their stories. And then I kind of got to, like, I got to know other people. Like, I don't know, see a different side of, like, people I don't know that well. And, you know, if I brought this up to them. And
but you know what you're speaking to that is so real is how crazy our minds can get without a definitive answer. The fantasy of the crush is sometimes more intoxicating than finding out if it's going to actually come to fruition, if I can say that.
100%.
So you're, like, living in this land of what if, what if, what if, what if.
What if, what if, what if, what if. And I just felt like my, just in general too, like, my life in general was just in change. I'm just going through change. In other areas of life, and I'm trying to figure all these things out. So it just, everything felt heightened, but not in a negative way necessarily. Like, it was
growth.
And
so, okay. So what happened?
So then finally, like, a friend, I talked to her about it and she was like, you have to just ask him out.
Yeah.
Just do it. And we had this, like, really sweet talk about it. And she really inspired me to just go for it. She's like, you got it. She's like, and no pressure. It's not a big deal. Like, just next time you're going to see each other at a party. And, like, literally that night I was going to see him at a party. And she was like, you're going to go up to him at the party. She's like, just smile. Be like, we should go on a date. And if he says no, then just be like, oh, like, you could just kind of, like, brush it off. Like, oh, oh, well, like, it's not a big deal. You got this. Just go. But you owe it to yourself. Like, you just have to know for yourself what's going on and just do it and you're fine. And then that night he didn't show up to the party.
Fuck.
So she texted me. She kept following up and she was like, text him now. Text him now. Text him now. It's like, she's like, you have no reason to wait. Ask him now. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to wait for this other thing, blah, blah, blah. And and I did not end up asking him until, like, 3 weeks later.
Okay. Hey, but it's still in the grand scheme of things. So I still kept it going. That's okay, though. 3 weeks is, like, you know, a drop in the bucket. So was it a party 3 weeks later?
So 3 weeks later, I had a show.
Okay.
And I invited him and our mutual friend and, like, and then also my brothers came, like, they surprised me, which was really sweet. They've never seen me perform before.
Holy shit.
And so I did this show. It was, like, my crowd work show and it was, like, one of my best ones I've done. Like, I was totally in flow. It just was a really fun night. And then when the show was done, I said hi to my brothers and it was, like, really sweet and emotional. And then I got dinner with my friend slash my crush. And we had this like little night out, whatever. And then him and I end up alone. So then it's 1 a.m. We're kind of walking a little bit aimlessly. And then he calls an Uber. Mm-hmm. And then I look at him and I was like, can I ask you something? And he was like, yeah, what's up? And I was like, I think we should go out on a date. What do you think? And then he was like, oh. he was like, I wonder if he'll be upset that I'm talking about this, but I don't think anyone will know it's him. But he was like a friend date. And I was like, no.
You're like, I usually abide by the rule of yes and, but this is a no. It's no.
I want to go on like a date.
Capital D.
D date. And then I could see his eyes like took in my face. Like, I think I couldn't conceal anything in that moment. Like, I think I'm sure my heart and my face have not been that close together in a minute. And yeah. I was like, I don't even know what. I just saw him like take it in. And he was like, I think you're incredible. And then his car came. And so then we ended up like texting, and then we met up the next morning and we like got coffee and just like sat at a bench and like talked more openly about it. And it was really sweet. And now we're good friends.
But you know what? Okay, I have so many thoughts. I'm probably starting to cry because I've been on oxycodone for the past 2 weeks. And so I think and I haven't slept in 2 weeks. So I think my emotions are really on the surface.
Oh, it's okay, baby. Let it out. It's okay.
When I don't sleep, I'm like an inch away from crying at all times.
Me too. And I've been actually, my sleep's really dysregulated.
Oh my God.
I'm kind of going through something.
Well, I think I get a little emotional because I'm like, it's so human to like, first of all, your face matching your heart, that's a lyric. Let's put that into a song.
Bars.
Those are bars. But also, I think we're so conditioned to be afraid of failure. And I mean the word failure in the sense of like putting an ask out there or something into the world. And then if it doesn't come back in the way you envision, like there's like your friend said, which by the way, shout out to your girlfriend here. Like, we are allowed to like do
and by the
thing.
Way, I just want to say like that was Caperlant who told me that.
Shut up.
And so it meant even like Kar and I've become friends like over the past year, and like just that friendship has been just so meaningful to me for so many reasons, and so shout out to her, and I just she was so kind and so supportive, and also like after that happened, I talked to her about it, and she was just very very. Like caring and just a really good friend to talk to about.
Well,
that kind of
you
thing.
Know, the people that listen to this podcast are the demographic that bowed down at the altar of Caperlant. So to hear her support as a friend is like emotional porn for us. But I think that I want to shout out to your crush, because it sounded like he was so caring and sweet and good friendy about it, which is like, yeah. I care about you. Let's talk about it the next day and make sure we're on the same page. So if anything, we are giving him his flowers because he treated you with the care that Richard Perez deserves. And I think you're I do know that you're inspiring people out there to fucking ask their crushes out. And guess what? If it doesn't happen, you're still that bitch. And you're going to keep on being that bitch.
100%. And like, and also, it's very valuable information to know if this person's interested too.
Truly. Like,
you should know that if this person wants you to in that way. Like, that is definitely really important to find out.
In a way, it takes you out of your misery, too, because now you sort of like have the answer. And guess what's going to happen, Richard? A new crush will enter the villa.
I know. And there'll be a new thing. And I haven't had something like that since then. But I've had like little crushes since actually literally a week ago. There's this other guy I met. Basically the Madonna party at Knockdown Center.
Uh-huh.
met this guy through mutual friends. We're waiting in line together. I sensed that we were kind of flirting, or there was a little bit of like a vibe there. And we spoke a little more when we like finally got into Knockdown Center. But then, like, you know, Madonna came on. Bye. Like, we did not talk again. I was completely swept away. I was screaming on the verge of tears. Like, Madonna's right there. I was singing along to a track of, she's doing Get Together.
Mm.
The whole room, we're screaming. It was so beautiful. So then fast forward to last weekend, I saw him at a mutual friend's birthday party, and it was like a different group of friends. Like we were both surprised that we would see each other there.
Yeah.
So then we were like, oh my God, hey, like whatever, we're chatting, blah, blah, blah. Before I leave the party, he asked for my Instagram. And so we followed each other, and I took that as like, oh, maybe, you know. Interesting. And so then the next day I messaged him and I'm like, hey, like it was really lovely seeing you. I think you're really cute and fun to talk to. Like, we should hang out. Like, what's your week looking like? And then he let me know, oh, I'm seeing someone, like this, whatever. And
hell
now,
yeah. Hell yeah.
And it stung for a day, but I was like, whatever.
Yes.
Like,
normalize having the crush, taking the action, getting the information. It's also like you can apply that to literally anything in your life, which is just like, if you're afraid to like take a dance class or whatever, like just fucking
and try. I think like that's been a huge part of my like comedy journey.
Yes.
Because getting on stage was, I thought about it every day.
Yes.
Throughout my 20s.
Yes.
And to finally get to do it, and especially like, I don't know, just through all these different changes and, you know, just growing pains that you experience throughout your life, mm-hmm. then to finally get to a place where you're like, I can do it.
Yeah,
fine. And I will bomb. I do bomb. I just bombed a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
Like, it just happens. And it's like, doesn't mean you have to attach to it and, I don't deserve love and I'm horrible and I was never like, no one ever really believed in me and da, da, da. Like, it's just like, you just kind of have to just let yourself embrace the full experience of it.
And while knowing that no matter what the experience is, at the root of it is like, I have value. I matter.
Yes, I am worthy. Have value. Absolutely.
You and I have like similar, you know, our careers are of course different, but our journeys, I think right now, like artistically are similar with growing pains. And we're going to talk about on the Substack side, actually, have some questions about like the reality of the biz for you that I think would be interesting to hear about, especially for the Richard Perez fans that want to know some of the BTS. Also going to talk about you manifested something very beautiful to the media company Run Amok. You manifested something saying, I'm dating my crush and we are so in love. We are couples goals, love when we fuck. So you're going to tell me on Substack how you fuck in your manifestation and I cannot wait to hear about the plowing that occurs. But
listen, if you enjoy this podcast, you're probably horny, or at least consider yourself to be a part of the horny experience. And y'all, I just read a book with a whole bunch of hornery. It is called The Dare by New York Times best-selling author Harley LaRue. And if you listen to the podcast for a while, this is not the first time I've talked about Harley LaRue. I love their work, and this book is just so delicious. It follows a former prom queen who falls for a guy she went to high school with, but it's a guy she would have never expected to go for. There's also gay representation and gay hornery, and I do think you, as a gay-ass podcast listener, would enjoy. I highly recommend you go check out The Dare, if only for the fact that Amazon banned it temporarily for being too sexy. What? So go check out The Dare by Harley LaRue, available now wherever books are sold. Y'all, I've got another book recommendation for you, and this one is a spicy gay cowboy romance. Ooh, yippee-ki-yay. It's called Saving the Rain by Elliot Rose, and just listen to this description. After a devastating rodeo injury, bareback bronc rider, hello, Case Wilder has no choice but to rely on the one man he spent years trying to forget, his estranged stepbrother and longtime rival Zeke. I'm telling you, these scenes are very explicit, and the fact that it's about stepbrother others. What? I was blushing on my recent American Airlines flight. No jork. And by the way, I've never had a stepbrother fantasy, but forbidden love has absolutely been a part of my journey. I'm sure you all know that I talk about daddies here. When I was younger, I would read nifty.org and those camping stories. This book sort of took me back there. These like hot outdoor scenes, just so delicious. So please check out Saving the Rain by Elliot Rose wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. I promise you won't regret it.
So something that is huge professionally, and we are going to get into a podcast question, but I want to ride this wave and, as you said, be present. Let's talk about Chanti Beluga. Richard Perez.
My girl.
Chanti is opening your Gramercy Theater show on October 6th. Tell me, what is your history with Chanti?
Chanti Beluga is a dear friend of mine. I was there at the birth of Chanti Beluga, if you can believe. I was there when the words were first said into this world.
Wow. Describe it.
So the creator is Courtney O'Donnell, hysterical, hilarious, brilliant comedian / actor. It's crazy. She's unreal. She's so like sharp, quick, witty, and absurd. Like, she makes me laugh in this way that's like, I feel like so like lit up inside right now. And me, her, and like a few of our friends, we all were working on a movie together that like Veronica Slavikowska is the star of. So there's this movie that's like we're working on, and it was our last day shooting.
Is that Zach Schiffman's movie?
Yes.
Love.
And so it was the last day of shooting, and we were also working on the last shot, which would be Veronica. Like, it all took place in this one location, in this like restaurant, and Veronica's outside. And so they're setting up lights for her for outside, but they still wanted some people. Like, we were essentially background for like this final shot. And so we wrapped at 4 a.m. Like, we're delirious. So, but anyways, this is like one. So let's go back to 1 a.m. We're here just kind of like, whatever, like riffing and making each other scream laugh. We were completely like delirious. And then Courtney asks me, this is my memory of it. Courtney asks, like, we're riffing, we're doing some sort of like actor riff, like bit or something. Like, we're just like playing around. Courtney's like, what's your name? And I was like, Lawrence. And then she laughed and I was like, what's your name? And she was like, I'm Chanti. Chanti Beluga. And then we just like lost it. And then 2 minutes later, she had Zach film her do her slate where she's like, I'm Chanti Beluga, 5'4", reading for the part of Crypt Keeper. And then we were just screaming, laughing. We eventually were like, shooting, like, we were chanting. We came up with a song. Were like, Chanti Beluga, Uga, Uga, Chanti Beluga. Chanti Beluga, Uga, and like all of us were singing it while like one of the producers, or like, I don't know, like there's like crew there just kind of like trying not to laugh, and they're just like, it was so crazy and it was so much fun. And then and then the next night was the wrap party, and then I saw Courtney and she was like, I created an account for Chanti Beluga. And I was like, LOL. And she was just like, yeah, like, she's just like, I'm just gonna have fun with it.
How long ago did she create the account to now?
I think it was literally like July 30th or 29th, so something
July
like that.
July 29th, we're recording this on August 21st. Chanti Beluga blew up like about a week ago, I would say. Like, it is so funny how the internet works. People are asking too, like, you know, you're seeing posts of like, why is this funny? Why is Chanti Beluga funny? And I think how you described it distills it in a beautiful way. You hear the syllables Chanti Beluga, especially reading for the role of Crypt Keeper, which is just like an added sprinkle. But I think just like the way the syllables, the consonants, the vowels of Chanti Beluga hit, it's already fucking funny.
It's so funny. And then, I don't know, like, there was a comment I saw that said, this feel, what I love about this is that this feels like an inside joke between friends.
Yes.
And that's so sweet, because I'm like, yeah, that is the spirit behind it. And I also just think it's like Courtney's just, I mean, it's also her sensibility, like what she does with Chanty Beluga, and like her being like a swordfish burrito, like yeah, kind of adding all these like words together that are kind of like crazy and yes, like Mad Lib-ish or something. Like, that's so her sense of humor anyways. Like, she's always been kind of playing this way.
Well, if we kind of zoom out for a second, you know, I think it's a big deal that she's Chanty Beluga's opening up for you. I've actually read some blind items that you and Chanty had a beef at one point. What was that all about?
Sorry.
That was it, your publicist?
My publicist. So we have to go. I'm so sorry.
No, we can change the conversation. I don't. What's your favorite? What's your order at Chipotle? I didn't mean to bring up the Chanty beef.
Chipotle. I love Chipotle.
I do like that. Whatever your beef with Chanty is, it's so fraught.
It's so bad that I can't even talk about it.
Legally.
Legally, I can't talk about it.
No, I love the Chanty Beluga of it all. I'm so excited to see her reign continue. If I was in New York in October, I would be at your show. And I've seen your show, and I love it so fucking much. I hope everyone continues to support. But you know what? I think that this podcast needs your support with an answer to a question that is a follow-up. When you came on this podcast in 2023, Richard Perez, wow, I asked you, whose fault is it that you're gay? And you said playing trumpet made you gay. Richard Perez, the follow-up question is, who was your first gay? What was the first gay where you were like, that one?
Honestly, maybe Chris Kattan on SNL playing Mango.
Oh my God. What a first gay. I mean,
I think that might be, I don't know. And I just remember my mom too, kind of joking around and being like, LOL, that's so you. And I was like, interesting.
T.
Yeah.
You have two brothers. Are you the only gay one?
Yeah, as far as I know.
So far. What a first gay, Chris Kattan's Mango. Do we know what Chris Kattan is up to these days? Is he on the right side of history, or is he?
I have no idea. I have no clue. But
hey,
I
listeners,
just
put in the comments if you know
what Chris Kattan's up to.
What's Chris Kattan up to? If anybody knows, if anybody's related, this audience has gotten so huge. I'm sure
is he gay? Is he like an out?
I don't think so. I think Chris Kattan is a straight guy.
Okay. So yeah, so maybe that, or I'm trying to think, like, my first exposure to like gay, that or like a classic, like, you know, a Disney.
Well, actually, this is going to be a good segue into Substack 2, because I'm going to ask about your first boy kiss, and that will be, I think, a really interesting question. But before we do that, let's just make sure we ask another important question, which is, you posted a really beautiful rendition of West Side Story's America on Instagram. I think our listeners want to know, what other musicals make you feel alive?
Okay, so musicals are fairly new to my life. Uh-huh. I honestly got, because in high school, I mean, I just had my own repressed sort of thing going on, and I wasn't pursuing, I mean, I would audition for the school play. I did it once in middle school, and then I was in the chorus for freshman year, The Music Man.
Oh, sure. Shout out.
And I had one line. I played one of the kids who was like, it's the band instruments. That was my line.
Which is so apropos as a trumpet player.
Yeah. It's the band instruments. And then after that, I didn't audition anymore. I quit band. I completely went this other route. I was like, I'm a photographer. I'm artsy. I'm introverted. I'm like listening to Coldplay and like, you guys don't fucking get it. And
will you sing one of your favorite Coldplay songs?
One of my favorite Coldplay songs, Honey, You Are a Rock Upon Which I Stand. And I came here to talk. I hope that you understand. The green eyes, yeah, the spotlight shines upon you. Do you know that song?
It sounds like you're singing like an Ella Fitzgerald.
I know, yeah, this doesn't actually sound like in this style. But there's this one lyric where he's like, I've made this my Facebook status so many times. Where he goes, and anyone who tried to deny you must be out of their mind.
Bars.
And I've held on, I've rinsed and repeat that over and over and over.
When's the last time you updated a Facebook status?
I mean, probably before I deleted my Facebook entirely.
Oh.
So it must have been like before lockdown.
Yeah. No, like I
2019 or something.
God, the days of Facebook statuses and how emotional we got. I mean, it's so funny how we've had to, how we've gotten to express ourselves online. First of all, it was the AIM away messages. Remember when you would like,
oh my God,
uppercase, lowercase.
Yes.
And then it was a Facebook, there was a MySpace moment. There was a Facebook status. Well,
I think how people express themselves, like their Instagram stories now, sometimes can give you a window into what
they would have been like
in MySpace or Facebook or something. Like, if you're someone that shares songs on your stories,
yeah,
I'm sure you were doing those YouTube links on your Facebook statuses, or you were making lyrics.
Should I give up?
Oh, or should I just keep chasing pavement? Like, making that. And also, I love when Facebook statuses were like, Richard Perez is, should I give up? Or should I just keep chasing pavement?
Richard Perez is, nobody's gonna rain on my parade.
Oh yeah, but to answer your question, I was, after Sondheim passed away, then I saw like Instagram stories about like his work and then someone posted this really hauntingly gorgeous, there's like this demo album of him singing with piano, playing piano, and he has this version of him singing Losing My Mind. And it is, I still listen to it. It gives me chills. It's like it's such a beautiful stripped down, just like you could just hear it in his voice, this like the heaviness of like the song and like the weight of it. It's so stunning. And so then after that, I was like, huh. And I saw Larry Owens in 2020. Yeah. In like 2021 or 2022, I saw Larry's show. Blew my mind. I was like, what is, like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, huh, musicals are interesting.
Musicals have something to them. Larry Owens sang a rendition of a certain Sondheim song that Matt will be able to remind me. I think it was, it's from Sunday in the Park with Joy. God, what the fuck was the song? I'll find it. But years ago, we were like in some like concert that he sang in, and he fucking tore it up, and I've been obsessed with him ever. I got to see that Sondheim show at Pasadena Playhouse in LA like a couple years
God.
ago. So fucking good. But you know what, that's actually a great segue for our final pod question before we cross over to Substack. And Richard Perez, you answered this in 2023, but the answer can change every day. And that question is, if the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
I recently have been seeing clips of a podcast interview with Alana Ubak. And
huge.
She's just like fascinating. And I think she's just like a raw, like, nerve / talent. And just, I don't know. And then there was this one clip where she was talking about, I guess just like mortality or something, like kind of going into just when you experience like some sort of grief or some sort of loss, of just how your life can totally shift perspective and it can be inspiring to a certain extent where you're like, I got to live my life. Like, I really got to just just go for it and just embrace it. Like, kind of like what we're talking about in the
I was just going to say, ask the crush out, grab life by the horns.
And just do it, yeah.
You know, Alana Ubach came up recently because she is probably my number one answer on most days. She, in Sister Act 2, plays one of the students.
Oh my God. And her voice is like
butter.
Yes. Oh my God.
She goes, the love boat. And she and then from there, you know, she's just done so much. My straight brothers will quote her from Meet the Fockers as like the like housekeeper will and it's one line where she goes, Jace, I got a boob job. And it's just the way they're like, you look amazing, Jace. I got a boob job. The way she's so, she can be dramatic boots in Euphoria. She can be, you know, cartoon voice. She can be just, Alana Ubach is...
She's
an absolute icon, and the word is overused, but she is capital I icon, and I'm so glad that you have chosen her, Richard Perez. Will you tell these listeners, before we cross over to Substack, where we hear about your manifestations of gorgeous sex, where we hear some behind the scenes about your professional life, your first boy kiss, will you tell these listeners where to follow you, and if there's anything else you would like for them to know?
Where I post the most is on my Instagram stories, Richard_Perez. I will be in Philadelphia doing this solo show called I Have to Do This. I will be there at Philomoka on September 8th. And you should come.
Yeah.
If you live there or if you know people that live there, tell
send
me.
The Philly gays and girls with taste. Go see Richard's show at the Gramercy Theater. The link for Richard's Instagram is in the description. And come over to Substack, because I have to thank all the Substack subscribers for making my dreams come true. And I just would love for you all to hear the rest of this conversation, which is going to start off with this question of, you have a manifestation which states, I am dating my crush and we are so in love. We are couples goals. I love when we fuck. Richard, in this manifestation, tell me, how do you fuck? And do me a favor, make it graphic.
Okay, so I have been having sex for the, anal sex for the first time in like 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I was kind of subconsciously, I just kind of fell into becoming a side for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I got really anxious around it. I think eventually I put it up on a pedestal along with like just dating in general.
Yeah.
And so this past February, I like spontaneously just hooked up with this guy who was so sweet, and I bottomed, and I've just been bottoming since then. And I love it. And I'm learning to like, I mean, it's so like, duh. Like, I think most people know this, but I really like to start out riding if I can, just because it kind of opens up easier.
Yeah.
For the rest of the interview, head to Substack linked below, where you will also find chats with Colin Braun, Rich Burns, Christopher Pattison Rosso, Tyler Varvel, Sebastian Dino, Cody Silver, Johnny Sibley, Sam Altizer, and more. It's at substack.com/@EricWills. And I will see you there for a gorgeous, hairy, horny time. I love you. Bye.